We're learning about a new group that's coalescing around gun safety legislation. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. They're made up of activists and faith leaders and business owners, and they're calling themselves the 80% Coalition. And that's a nod to a recent Marquette University Law School poll that found 80% of Wisconsin voters support a new law to make private gun sales and sales at gun shows subject to background checks. So do you support expanded or universal background checks for gun purchases here in Wisconsin? Do you support red flag laws, or do you think they violate due process? We're at 800-642-1234. Daryl Morin is president of Forward Latino and is leading the 80% Coalition. It's made up of two dozen organizations of community advocacy and the business groups that are urging state lawmakers to take up gun control legislation. Daryl, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be here with you this morning.
Well, what is the 80% Coalition? What is it, and what are you urging lawmakers to address here?
Well, we're just a group of non-traditional partners, actually. Everything from business organizations, advocacy groups, student groups, faith-based organizations, et cetera, coming together with the realization that we need to change the way things are. Let me just clarify this, too. Let me tell you what we're not. We're not this organization looking around to take guns out of everybody's hands. No, that's not it. Our mission truly is about public safety and improving the quality of life and the safety throughout all of Wisconsin.
How did all of these groups find each other? How did you find these partners?
It actually was rather organic. We were planning for, Latino was planning to do something following the tragedy in Gilroy, California. For the following weekend, and then we had what turned out to be El Paso in Dayton. So from 18 hours from the time we announced we were going to have a vigil, we had 42 different organizations come from throughout the state of Wisconsin wanting to stand there and remember those lost. And it was at that moment they said, you know, it's one thing to offer our thoughts and prayers, which we're doing now, but we really need to engage. And then the Marquette Law School poll came out, right, with that very compelling evidence. 88% of households that don't have guns are in favor of closing these loopholes, and 75% of those who do agree that we need to close these loopholes. And we came together and said, wait a minute, if the overwhelming majority of Wisconsinites, right, the voters agree we need this, why can't our legislators come together and agree on what needs to be done?
So you found yourselves in a moment at a vigil, expressing the sadness for these attacks. You're also asking Wisconsin lawmakers to pass a resolution condemning the recent acts, you say, of domestic terrorism. Why do you think the resolution is necessary?
We're going through a very divisive time right now. We've seen an uptick in hate crime across the United States over the last couple of years. And when we saw the tragedy, which we just commemorated recently at September 11th, we thought it was important that once again, government did, that we stated what our position was on hate, on terrorism, et cetera. And when you see these acts, act after act, where the perpetrators have admitted why they did what they did, we think it gives our lawmakers an opportunity to say, hey, we're going to stand up for American principles. We're going to state that loudly. There's no place for hate in Wisconsin. There's no place for hate in our country or any other kind of violent ideology. So,
as you say, the 80% Coalition is not about taking guns out of people's hands, but it is in support of expanded background checks on all gun sales in Wisconsin. What would that look like?
Yeah. So right now, and on the books right now, the law says if you're a convicted felon, if you're convicted of domestic abuse or have some other things that have been put against you, you're not allowed to own a firearm. And while we're very pleased to see that there are background checks at some level, that requirement only applies to people buying firearms from a licensed dealer. So, and that has stopped over 3.5 million sales of firearms to individuals who had this block on them. However, there's been a secondary market that's blossomed on the internet. And we also know about gun shows, et cetera. And since those are considered private sales, there's no requirement for a background check. And that's how, the person in Middleton, the mass shooter there, got their firearms. In Azana in Brookfield, Wisconsin, you know, that's how they skirted the law and were able to get it. So we think it's reasonable to have that background check on everyone.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Daryl Morin. He's president of Forward Latino, leading the 80% coalition, as we've been talking about. This is a group that's urging Wisconsin lawmakers to pass gun safety legislation. You can join in this conversation, 800-642-1234. Where do you come down on expanded background checks and red flag laws? How do you feel about the 80% coalition and its message? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Steve now, joining us from Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I do want to quickly correct your guess that just because you're at a gun show and selling a gun doesn't mean there's not a background check. If you're a licensed dealer at a gun show, you still have to do a background check. And most of the people at gun shows are licensed dealers. So I want to correct that because that's something that's not true. My question, though, really is about universal background checks. What are we going to do as punishment for people who don't comply with this new law, considering most judges basically do nothing for felons that are attempting to buy a gun today and let them back on the street where most crime comes from? What are we going to do to people who don't comply with the law? Again, considering we don't do anything now.
Daryl, go ahead. Yeah.
No, so I want to thank you for bringing up that point. So whenever there's a private sale, that's when there is no requirement there. So there are folks that dealers who are at gun shows, et cetera. It isn't required. Well, the dealers are required by law, but anybody else isn't. So I appreciate the caller pointing that out. And there is a need. There is a need. And when I talk with a lot of members of law enforcement over this, to talk with the judges and some of the DAs about the need to further enforce the law when they catch a convicted felon with a firearm, is it really enough just to give them probation or a warning or to follow through with some of the penalties that should follow that? So agreement there by all that there needs to be greater enforcement by some of the things that are already on the books as well.
What would you say to those who think that this is a really slippery slope and they're worried that gun control legislation may be infringing on their Second Amendment rights, that this will one law will lead to the next?
So with regards to expanding the background checks or closing loopholes, the law's already on the books that say these people, right, shouldn't have a firearm. So there really is no change with regards to that in Second Amendment rights, et cetera. So.
The 80% Coalition is also urging the legislature to pass extreme risk protection orders. That's more commonly known as red flag laws, where you go seek the judge when you think someone could be harmful with a firearm. What does the coalition, why does the coalition back that policy? Yeah.
So let me just start off by saying we already have something like that on the books right now. If you're a spouse and you believe you're in danger from your spouse, right, who has a firearm, you can go ahead and seek the removal of that firearm. That's already on the books here in Wisconsin. What we're calling for is an expansion of that so that if you have a family member who thinks that you're an imminent risk to yourself or to others, if there's a member of law enforcement that believes you're an imminent risk to yourself or others, that they could go to a court using the same process that exists already, right, for those spouses in a domestic situation. And if they can prove their case and the defendant can't show that they're not at risk, that they can then enable law enforcement to remove the firearm until the threat's no more.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said that red flag laws take people's constitutional rights away from them before they even commit a crime because they could. Do red flag laws eliminate due process?
I think what we're calling for is that assurance that there's due process there, that there is an independent body, right? The judge is the arbiter, that everybody be given access to present their case, et cetera. And once again, only if there's an imminent threat proven is it removed. The mother of the shooter in El Paso called the police department. They said, "My son just got this firearm. I don't think he should have this firearm." And the police just went down the checklist. Yep, he's lawfully able to have it. There's nothing we can do. And then several weeks later, we have El Paso.
There are 24 members involved in your coalition. You mentioned education groups, healthcare organizations, faith communities. Why do all of these different organizations have a stake in gun policy, and can they find enough common ground even though they come from all these different areas of society?
Yeah. That's what's been so amazing. Even the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, all these different religions have really come. And I don't just think of them as a faith-based organization, right, which they are, but they're also one of the largest education providers in the state. Right. And we know that firearms aren't just a mass shooting issue, even though it is a huge concern. It's not just an individual act of violence issue. Right. But suicide, people taking their own lives. Right. 72% of all gun deaths in the state of Wisconsin come from people taking their own lives. You know, it's not the urban cities, et cetera, where all the crime festers or, you know, what some perceptions are. This is happening in rural Wisconsin everywhere. 672 deaths in 2017, 72% of those were from people taking their own life with a firearm. And we also know that you're three times more likely to attempt suicide if you have access to a firearm than if you don't.
We're talking about the advocacy work of a new group. It's called the 80% Coalition, and they're pushing Wisconsin lawmakers to pass gun safety legislation. Daryl Morin is president of Forward Latino, and he's leading the coalition's cause. Do you think gun policy should be addressed at the federal level, or does a state-by-state approach make more sense? How do you think lawmakers should address gun legislation if a special session is called? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to this in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about a new group that wants to hold town hall meetings on gun safety legislation and get bills passed in this area. They're called the 80% Coalition, and we're hearing from the leader. Do you think grassroots advocacy is an effective course of action here in the debate over gun control and laws and policy related to the use of firearms? How do you feel about expanded or universal background checks for gun purchases in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. Daryl Morin is president of Forward Latino, and he's leading the 80% Coalition. He stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Jill is joining us from Mineral Point. Hi, Jill.
Good morning. Thank you. My question was about, it's funny that he mentioned the mother of the shooter. How do we get through to those who don't have any criminal background or who slip through the mental health cracks? Is there a chance or a way to have a medical background more at the primary level and not so much just in psychiatry? Even those people who even tried any kind of antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication, I can take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Jill. Yeah.
So, excellent question. There's a lot of debate going on right there, and I don't want to vary too far out of my lane or area of expertise here, but I think that we're doing what we're doing because we realize there's a wide breadth of people that have perpetrated these things in the past. I don't want to see one category stigmatized over the other because we know this has happened across all demographics. Is there a need, obviously, to do more on mental health, et cetera? Yes, there are. There are far too many urban cities that where the law enforcement is the primary mental health provider, which they're not trained to do, et cetera. But I don't want to stigmatize any one group. You know, when we look in El Paso and other places, people who were acquaintances or friends of those who perpetrated those, perfectly normal, seemed fine, et cetera. We knew were extreme in their views, but they were driven more by hate or other things than any kind of mental defect or disease. So.
Let's go to Kevin now, joining us from Deerfield. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Yeah, my thoughts are similar to the previous caller. I I have not studied the statistics, but it seems like many of the perpetrators of the mass shootings and lesser gun-related crimes will be able to, you know, they obtain the guns legally. They will be able to pass background checks. I don't understand why that is the focus of the discussion on how to deal with this.
What should the focus be, Kevin?
I think we need, nothing will ever change until we make it illegal for people to possess high-powered assault rifles, you know, high-capacity rifles. We don't need to have them. We have no need for them in our society.
Kevin, I
also think handguns are more of a liability than any sort of a, you know, redeeming.
Yeah, Kevin, I want to pause right there and ask Daryl, with the 80% coalition, what does the coalition think about assault rifles and the like?
We haven't taken a position on that. I will share with you, we have members who are a part of it who hunt, et cetera. That being said, you could question what's really required for hunting. So we haven't taken a position there. I will tell you that just in my conversations with industry experts, there seems to be more consensus around limiting the size of high-capacity magazines, right, et cetera, than the assault rifles. But it is a discussion that's being had all over the country at this moment, so.
Talking with Daryl Morin, he's president of Forward Latino, and he's leading the 80% coalition. That's a group urging Wisconsin lawmakers to pass gun safety legislation. Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Daryl, Governor Evers has signaled his desire to call a special session to pass gun legislation. And Republican leaders of the Assembly and Senate, they oppose that idea that we've seen. Is it important to the 80% coalition that the legislature convene in a special session to pass gun bills?
We think it's an important thing for them to do. I know when they first met with the governor, they stated they really didn't have any legislation to look at. So we know that there's been a bill that's been made available and shared with them that would close the loopholes that we've been discussing this morning. And we're hopeful that shortly here that there will be some other legislation following with regards to the ERPOs or the extreme risk protection orders. But, you know, I know many are trying to frame this as a political debate. The people of Wisconsin have already answered given their answer, right? Whether you're a gun owner, whether you're not, the overwhelming majority say we need these changes. 80% said let's close the gun the loopholes and the background checks. 81% said let's get extreme risk protection orders. So the Republicans and Democrats of Wisconsin have already made their choice, right? Now we just need the legislators to be willing to do the will of the people. So.
Let's go to Justin now in Lone Rock. Justin, your thoughts.
Yeah, hi. My comment would be on that, and it's a pleasure to meet you on the thing, by the way. I'm in favor of what you're doing for the most part, but with the red flag was that if I get mad at you and I say that, you know, I think he's a threat, he threatened me, I can lie about it, and would that, you know, do I have the right as under the red flag law to be there during and know who my accuser is or who the person that brought this up is?
What are the protections there?
You know, because it opens a whole new, yeah, it brings up a whole can of worms that needs to be straightened out. And as far as, you know, if anybody's been on medication, at that, as a lady said earlier, that opens up, you know, Pandora's box completely, because a woman who had children who had a slight case of, you know, postpartum depression and needed meds for a few weeks, you know, that would tag her.
Let's pause right there, Daryl. What are protections with the red flag laws when someone does come forward and says, I think this family member is a threat?
Exactly. So I think everyone's very concerned with the potential for false accusation. You know, we've seen it. There's an argument. There's a dispute. One party wishes frustration, right, on the other party, et cetera. But obviously, we need to keep the public health right perspective is paramount. But what we're calling for in every draft of legislation that we've seen, and that's been introduced over the last several years, actually had some built-in tools there. So if somebody knowingly makes a false accusation or provides false information, they would be subject to prosecution under a felony, right? So there is skin in the game now for the accuser to help offset that. Other versions of the bill had made it both a felony and subject up to like a $10,000 fine, et cetera. So I agree there needs to be equal protection. It needs to go before an independent body. It needs to be a judge. The person who's been accused needs to have a chance to represent themselves, defend their positions, et cetera. But all legislation that we've seen that we'll endorse would require some kind of additional protection to make sure that no false accusations were being made.
The 80% coalition, you named organizations, representing organizations. What about the citizens and voters of Wisconsin? How will the coalition engage on a local level?
So we're going to be announcing some town halls in some very strategic locations. And we're asking everyone, this isn't something that you sit back and say, what can I do? It's easy. Go online. You can go to our website, right, and find the phone number for your state legislator. And you call them, and your federal legislator as well, right? This isn't just a Wisconsin thing. This is it's a federal thing as well. And share with them your concerns. Far too many people know somebody who's fallen victim to gun violence, right? This is very personal. We need to make sure Wisconsin and the people of Wisconsin are driving the agenda here and not outside influences.
What do you want to accomplish at these town halls?
Educating people. Their perception is, once again, that crime and gun violence only happens in urban areas. We know that's not true, right? 72%, as I mentioned earlier, are individuals taking their own lives. A study just came out that last year, nearly 40,000 lives were lost due to firearms, right? 40,000. That's a good-sized town, right? 2,500 of those, almost 2,500 of those, school-age children. And we continue to see year after year, right? And it's a big fear. This year, for the first time ever, parents are actually debating, what can I do without so I can buy my child that bulletproof backpack? What does that say about where we are today?
Daryl, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Daryl Morin is president of Forward Latino, leading the 80% coalition. Just ahead, a judge ruled that a Wisconsin college violated a student's First Amendment rights. We'll look at free speech on campus. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.